This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And with that, the NFL season has come to an end. Congratulations to the LA Rams. They are Super Bowl champs with a 23-20 win over the Cincinnati Bengals. Super Bowl 56 is in the books. The season is in the books. And the Rams have won the Super Bowl with a kind of unconventional way of doing it. We had been speaking all last week saying, look, here are two teams. One has gone about their growth and their emergence in sort of the way you want a team to do it. You're lousy for a bit. You get the draft picks. You make the right decisions. You find your quarterback and you go from there. And the Rams did it almost in the opposite way. Giving up the draft picks, going after talent, getting Jalen Ramsey, bringing in Matt Stafford in a trade, picking up Odell Beckham Jr. They went about it in a way that now puts them on a pedestal as Super Bowl champions. Now, how it plays out after that, who knows? But it doesn't matter because in the moment, the LA Rams are Super Bowl champions because they made all the deals necessary to win today. And now they've won today. And if we're going to be true to this, we're going to say that everything that they did is now worth it. All of the times that the draft will be held and the Rams will not have a pick, all of the times that we will wonder where is the youth movement for the Rams, we're going to go back to Super Bowl 56 and say, yeah, but in the end, they got exactly what they wanted out of all of those sacrifices for the future to win today, and they won today. However, they almost didn't, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how they won this game, and we're going to talk about how the Bengals may have lost this game. This is not going to be one of the greatest Super Bowls of all time, but it certainly was very interesting in how it played out. And we're going to start with the Rams side of it, because it looked really daunting for them to try to win this game without Odell Beckham, who was having a really good first part of that game until the second quarter when he went down with that knee injury, just snagging a little bit on the turf. But Aaron Donald stepped up. Certainly Cooper Kupp did, and Matt Stafford did as well. But the Bengals helped out. We're going to get to the Los Angeles side of things. We'll get to the Cincinnati side later on in this hour. Throughout the show today, we'll be talking about the Super Bowl in terms of its coverage, the commercials, all of the things that happened yesterday. If you'd like to participate on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Tony D, Ron Culver, Wake Up Call at SportsMap Radio on your Super Bowl Monday.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And Cincinnati will not spend that final timeout. They'll let the Rams exult. Sean McVay gets the Gatorade bath after five seasons. Cooper Kupp, phenomenal. Stafford gets the job done. Whitworth at age 40. Aaron Donald, when we go back to the fact that Michelle was saying before the game, he's thinking about retiring. This could be the end. We don't know. But the Rams were built to win the Super Bowl, and they have sealed the deal.
Al Michaels, NBC Sports, on the final call as the Rams are victorious in Super Bowl 56, 23-20. Oh, you know, and it almost slipped their grasps. It almost slipped away from them. And it would have been one of those Super Bowls, if it had gone Cincinnati's way, that we would have said, oh, the what-ifs. Odell Beckham Jr. was doing exactly what you would think a wide receiver like him would do in a game like that. See, what happens in the Super Bowls is you get a star like Cooper Kupp, right? And then the game plan of the opponent is to try to neutralize the star players as much as possible. And so it allows other players to sort of step up and shine. Right, Cincinnati's a perfect example of that. Jamar Chase is the number one receiver for Joe Burrow. He had five receptions, but so did Tyler Boyd, and T. Higgins had four, because you're trying to neutralize the biggest threat and let other people beat you. And in this case, Odell Beckham Jr. had a touchdown catch and looked like he was going to have a very, very big day. And then in the second quarter, he goes for a short pass, making a crossing route. Then he just catches a little bit of the turf, goes down with a knee injury, and that's all she wrote, and that was it. He only had two catches for 52 yards and a touchdown, and he left the game. And so the Rams receiving core are left with Van Jefferson, Daryl Henderson, Bryson Hopkins, and Cooper Kupp. And as I said earlier, if you're the Bengals, what do you do? Well, you focus on Cooper Kupp. You're going to do that, and now you can do that more. Except Cooper Kupp had eight catches for 92 yards and was the main reason that the Rams were able to go down the field and score their game-winning touchdown with about 90 seconds left on the clock. So to me, the Bengals, who, again, come into this game knowing exactly who is the guy to cover, they could not stop on that final drive. And give credit to Matt Stafford, because that really was the only person he was going to go to on that drive, and he was brilliant doing that. He went 4-for-4 in throws to Kupp on that final drive. Kupp was able to draw some penalties. He got the touchdown that was called back, and then he got the touchdown again. Like, that whole drive was the MVP cap. The reason he won the MVP was on that final drive. So, again, as Al Michaels mentioned in that cut, this was a team built to do this exact thing, was to win this Super Bowl. And they had to do it by winning against Arizona, going on the road and beating Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, staying at home and beating a team that had beaten them six times in San Francisco, and now winning this Super Bowl against a hot team that had flaws. And boy, did Cincinnati have the one flaw that stood out the most. Because the one concern you have with the Bengals going into this Super Bowl was simple. Got to protect Joe Burrow. And that weak offensive line that cost Burrow half a season last year was abysmal yesterday. Seven sacks that Burrow went down. He went 9 against Tennessee and 7 in the Super Bowl. That ties a record. And the thing about it is, if you're the Bengals, and you look, and we talked about this last week about how good the AFC is, right? We've been talking about it for a while, actually, how good the AFC is going to be. If you're the Bengals and you want to get back into this game, then I don't care what you have to do, how much money you have to spend. You figure it out, Mr. Cap Guy, but you get an offensive line for this guy. Because you are going to be wasting this potential talent if you can't protect him. You want to try to run through the playoffs again like that? You want to play Lady Luck one more time? You want to go try to beat the Titans if the Titans can get to your quarterback 9 times and try to win a game again? Because I know I wouldn't. This was going to bite the Bengals at some point. And it happened to come at the Super Bowl. This offensive line needs to protect this kid, or this kid is not going back to this game. The Super Bowl is a hard thing to do. Getting there, winning it, it's really difficult. And you can go a long period of time, as Cincinnati knows, between appearances. Now, it is easy for us to look at Joe Burrow and the amazing talent that he has and say, oh, he'll be back. But you never know. Dan Marino never went back. And that's the problem. If you're the Cincinnati Bengals, you're going to have to run through Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson in your own division. And you better do it with the one vulnerability that you have locked up. And that is get a better offensive line. I don't care who you bring in. I don't care who you draft. I don't care how much money you got to spend. I don't care who you have to cut to get the money to spend it. You get an offensive line for this kid. Because otherwise, you ain't going to be back in this game. Now, Cincinnati could have pulled this one off. They made some decisions, and we're going to get to that later. They made some decisions that cost them this game, or at least cost them an opportunity to win this game. But I got to give credit to the Rams here, because Odell Beckham Jr. going down was a big blow, and they did not look like the same football team that they were at the beginning of the game. At the beginning of the game, I'm not going to say it looked like a blowout because the Rams scored, the Bengals were trying to keep pace. But you could tell there was a difference between how both teams were playing. Early in the game, the Bengals went for it on that fourth down, didn't convert. That led to a Rams touchdown. Zach Taylor showing some aggressiveness, right? Odell Beckham gets the touchdown on the ISO route, open, catches the touchdown. Cooper Kupp later scores a touchdown, and they're building something. You can see that they're confident offensively. They've got everybody in place. Odell Beckham is starting to get some yardage because, again, the focus is on Cooper Kupp. That leaves him. There's an opportunity for him. Oh, then he goes down, and everything stops. And the other thing about this was I went into this game saying I thought the Rams would win the Super Bowl because I thought Cincinnati could not run the ball. They ran the ball a lot better than I thought they were going to. But if you had told me at the beginning of the game which team would be better at running the ball, I would not have picked Cincinnati. Again, I thought that that front four of the Rams was going to do great things on that line. That Joe Mixon was going to have a hard time getting some good runs. So he had 72 yards in this game, and that was good. But the Rams could not run a lick. And especially after Odell Beckham went down and they tried to run on first and second down, they went absolutely nowhere. They averaged less than 2 yards per carry on 23 rushing attempts in this game. And that puts way too much pressure on Matt Stafford. And again, way too much pressure on Cooper Kupp. Because again, I think the Bengals were okay with the kind of coverage that they were going to use on Daryl Henderson and Van Johnson and Cam Akers out of the backfield and Bryson Hopkins, who had been in for the injured Tyler Higbee. I think they were okay with that. The one person they couldn't let hurt them was Cooper Kupp, and Cooper Kupp hurt them. It really, to me, again, I don't know how memorable this Super Bowl is going to be on the list of Super Bowls. But in Cincinnati, it's going to be memorable because every time this team, and if you're an older fan that remembers Super Bowl 16 and remember the Kenny Anderson, Chris Collinsworth days, and you suffered through that, and you suffered through Joe Montana to John Taylor, this is excruciating. You know, you look at teams that have gone to the Super Bowl multiple times in their franchise history, right? From the Vikings to the Bills to Denver, right? Where there was a period of time where they were losing. The Bills had a close Super Bowl against the Giants, pretty much out of their control in the last three. Cincinnati has lost three close Super Bowls, three really close ones, and lost them on lost two of them on late fourth quarter drives. Now, the one against San Francisco was heartbreaking because it came within the final minute. This one, there was still 90 seconds on the clock for them to get a field goal to put this game into overtime or a touchdown to win it. But in the end, they can't come through. On third and one, they go to Piron. He can't get anything. And then on fourth down, Burrow is scrambling. He's being in the grasp. He heaves something, a prayer. It just falls to the ground. And then they turn the ball over. And that final call that we just heard from Al Michaels was it. And the Rams are Super Bowl champions. We're going to hear from Sean McVay. We're going to hear from Joe Burrow. We're going to hear about how the Bengals could have had this opportunity. Plus, your thoughts on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Ron is back from Los Angeles after a week of radio work out in the City of Angels. And again, with the Rams, they built it, they achieved it, and they're champions. More on Super Bowl 56 when we come back. It's Wake Up Call at Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us again. Coverage of Super Bowl 56 rolling along this morning. Congratulations, Rams. And you know what? Congratulations, Cincinnati. You had a good playoff run. That was impressive. To overcome some of the obstacles that you had, and not many people believe in that you, as a four seed, would be able to go through a playoff system. You know, that would have the Titans, possibly the Bills, if the Bills had won, Kansas City, you beat Kansas City, right? I mean, the Raiders, yeah, that was your on your home turf. But to get to the Super Bowl with that team and the way they did it and how special Joe Burrow became, yeah, congratulations to you too.
Well, where do the Bengals sit now as a franchise? Because they're 0-3.
Yeah.
Are they the Vikings? Are they? Because they're not really the Bills.
They're not really the Bills because it didn't come in a wave.
It was all one team.
Yeah, it's not like the Broncos. I mean, that was all John Elway's teams and the three amigos and whatnot, and they got just bombed out of Super Bowls 3 out of 4 years. No, it's a weird thing because, I mean, you think about it. I mean, their first Super Bowl was like 40 years ago. You
right.
know, so it wasn't like, you know, it's not like it's recency. I mean, these are three different quarterbacks, three different eras of Bengals history. Again, if you're like 50 years old and you were kind of a young kid, 50, 55, and you kind of were a young kid during Super Bowl 16, but you're hanging on to the Bengals all the way through, this is kind of heartbreaking. I mean, every time they get to this game, I mean, even Super Bowl 16 wasn't a San Francisco blowout. These are close Super Bowls that they played in. And for them, every time they get to this game, to be that close. Look, 90 seconds was way too much time for the Bengals and Joe Burrow to move down the field. Like that should, this game should have gotten to overtime at least.
At least. Especially with McPherson.
A lot of times. Yeah. And I kept thinking about that. I'm like, this kid can hit it far too. I was like, and he's confident. You don't even have to go that far. When they were in midfield, I'm like, this game's going into overtime. When it was third and one, I'm like, it's two down territory. They should get 1 yard. And then the Piron decision was stupid. First of all, Piron's not even the main back. He's the number two back. And then they went right at Aaron Donald?
You know what it feels like? It feels like in a lot of these situations, the coaches get cute.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, exactly. I was like, oh, you know what? They probably expect Mixon. Let's go Piron.
Yeah, let's go Piron, yeah. But to run at Aaron Donald on third and one, setting you up for having to throw it on fourth down and mix it up a little bit, and then an offensive line that can't protect Joe Burrow. So it was all in L.A.'s favor. Look, here's the basic cliff notes of the second half, okay? The Bengals scored on their opening possession. The big touchdown to T. Higgins where he grabbed the face mask that was not called but still resulted in a big touchdown. But after that, the Bengals were held to one field goal, and that defense took over. That Rams defense took over. They started to get to Burrow. They started to close down some lanes. They tightened things up. And the only field goal the Bengals got was when they couldn't capitalize on a Matt Stafford interception. So at the beginning of the game, you get a 75-yard touchdown. Then Matt Stafford throws a pick. You can't get any points out of that other than a field goal. And then that's it. That's all Cincinnati gets. They get the 10 points very early in the second half, and then the Rams' defense took over. And now it was up to the Rams' offense to respond. And they get a field goal and then the late touchdown. So, yeah, if you're a Bengals fan, this is stinging.
That's why I was surprised that Cooper Kupp got the MVP.
Should have been Stafford or Aaron Donald.
I thought it was Donald.
I thought it was Aaron Donald, too. I said last year I thought Devin White should have been the MVP.
I mean, especially the last two plays.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from the kneel downs, I mean, the last two plays were because of him.
Yeah, the last two plays, Aaron Donald grabbed Piron from, you know, Piron,
I mean, one-handed.
One-handed and just threw him down on the floor and then got to Burrow in seconds. Like just a split second. Got to Joe Burrow on that fourth down.
I didn't want to say this, or, you know, I'm not trying to assume the NFL is doing this, but I almost felt like they gave it to Kupp as a way to say, you know what, you were the true MVP this year, not Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Yeah.
But we can't give it to a wide receiver. We have to give the MVP to a quarterback.
I think for Kupp, though, for that last drive, for him, like with all the focus, if you're the Bengals, stop him.
Yeah.
Like, if you get beat by Van Jefferson, good. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
But that's the guy you have to – they couldn't do it. They could not do it. Like, how does Cooper Kupp catch two in the end zone on that final drive? Like, one that was nullified and then the one that was the touchdown. Like, you think after the first one, you go, okay, we're not letting that happen. And then he found a way to get it again. And, again, Matt Stafford, I can't say enough about – the opportunity that he had to playing in Detroit all of those years, going absolutely nowhere, not on good teams, talent, plenty of it, gets to L.A. On the one hand, this is the thing about being a quarterback in the National Football League. They have to be envious of, like, star pitchers in baseball or star talent in the NBA because they eventually at some point control their own destiny, right? The NFL is the economic systems almost prevent you as a quarterback from leaving any team that you want to be on. You have to force a trade. You have to kind of ask for one. You get locked into long-term deals because economically that's the right thing for you to do. So if you're the number one overall pick on a lousy team and then, you know, you struggle a little bit and they come offering you $500 million, $40 million a year, then you got to, and you have to sign that because again, you don't know how a Father Time is going to kick you in the head and you're going to stink. So you take the deal, but the result is you're on a crappy football team and you better make sure that they put talent around you. And if they don't, and you were like Matt Stafford for over a decade, can't do anything with the team that they keep giving you, you could be stuck there. The Lions could have said to the Rams, yeah, sorry, he's not going anywhere. Like, we're rebuilding, but we're going to rebuild with him later in his career and let him be the we're going to find the heir apparent to be under him for a couple years. But they did right by him. They were in a circumstance where they go, yeah, you know what? We don't want anything. Like, we're going to start all over again.
Now, I like what Nate Burleson said, and I'm kind of on this page with him, is that if Stafford has a ring on his finger by the end of the game, which he does now, there should be a gold jacket waiting for him in the closet.
Absolutely. Talented player. I mean, there's no question about it. Talented player.
And he's, you know, like he was pointing out too, is like by the time his career is done, he's going to be in the top 10 of all the major categories. Yards.
Absolutely.
Touchdowns. And if Calvin Johnson's in, I mean, who threw him the ball?
Yeah, who threw him the ball? Exactly.
And now he's got a ring.
And now you got that. You need that one thing, and you get the ring. And this really had been, think about how clutch he had been all playoffs long. All through the playoffs, all four of these games, how clutch when he was needed the most, right? They were down 10 against San Francisco. They were down late in this game. They, you know, the Buccaneers came back to tie it up, and yet he throws that one under blitz pressure. He throws that beautiful pass to Kupp to set up the field goal. And against Arizona, he was brilliant, but Arizona really wasn't competitive. But in the end, this is a guy, every game that he played in the postseason, he was clutch and he was great. And you're right, gold jacket's on the other side of wherever, however he finishes. And again, but going back to how many quarterbacks really do get to control or at least get an opportunity like Matt Stafford had? They don't really get to control it because, again, the Lions, he thanked the Lions after the game. He thanked them, like, thanks for making this deal happen. They didn't have to make this deal happen. Again, you're a quarterback. You get locked into these economics where you don't get to become a free agent. Like, you don't, like, you're not, you know, Ben Roethlisberger doesn't get to take a tour. Like, Drew Brees, you know, had to go to New Orleans because he lost his job and had a shoulder injury. Like, when you see quarterbacks that get opportunities somewhere else, shine somewhere else, look to how they got there. They never get there healthy, young, on top of the world, because that team is never going to let that quarterback go. You know, it's not like Max Scherzer can play for a couple of years in one spot, then go, oh, I'm a free agent, I'll go with the Mets now. They're going to pay me $35 million a year. Quarterbacks get stuck in places, and they can die there. They can just, their careers can go nowhere there. And you need opportunity. Like, again, if you're Joe Burrow, you're obviously stay in Cincinnati, all that stuff. But if you're Joe Burrow, you got to look at that organization and go, you better get me an offensive line. We're not going to have any more fun here. Like, I can only do so much. I got to stay upright. How many times was Joe Burrow sacked in this postseason? What, 14 times? Something like that?
I think more than that.
Oh, no, more than that, yeah, because it was 7-9.
7-9, that's 16. I think there was two more.
I think 19 times he was sacked in the postseason. 19.
That's ridiculous.
That's, you know what? It's more than ridiculous. Now, it's inexcusable. It's inexcusable.
Can we say that's now got to be priority one? I mean, they already
got question.
They got the weapon last year. Now go get your guy, get him a left tackle.
As I was saying earlier, I don't care what you sit the draft the cap guy down and you go figure it out. Figure out where you're going to get the money, but you go after any line quality offensive lineman that we can bring in here, free agency. We're going to draft. I don't care who we have to bring in. I don't care how it happens. Make it happen. We have got one of the best young quarterbacks in the game, and he is on his behind all the time. That comes to an end. That was the biggest weakness of this team going into the game. And many people thought that is how this was going to be exploited. Eventually, you can't keep winning with that kind of deficiency. You cannot keep playing Lady Luck like that. And as I was saying earlier, you think the Cincinnati Bengals want to try to do it again with that same offensive line? Good luck. I'll tell you right now, they would not get past the Titans in round, you know, the second time. You need things to go your way, of course. You need luck to happen. But you have to find a way to protect your star quarterback. Because he cannot go down. He cannot go back to throw 33 times and have 7 of those end up on his behind. That in a close football game. Not a chance. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We continue. Oh, it's going to be a good Monday morning. And oh, by the way, happy Valentine's Day. We continue at Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Sound like a broken record, but that's what makes this team great. That's why they're world champs, is our best players stepped up in the most crucial and critical moments. You end up losing some guys. Guys were asked to step up. I just can't say enough about how much I love this group. They played for one another. There's something really powerful about being a part of something bigger than yourself, and you could see that the way that these guys competed. Love these players, love these coaches, and they're world champs.
That's Sean McVay, who still in his 30s, is now a two-time Super Bowl participant and now Super Bowl champion. Ron, when you were out in Los Angeles, how much was the rumor about McVay like possibly stepping aside if he would have won the Super Bowl and do some TV work and sort of get out of burnout?
I never heard that at all.
You never heard that? Oh, no. We were talking about that all last week. There was a little bit of a rumor. I didn't know you didn't hear that in L.A.?
No. Surprising. Well, you know what's weird? I mean, one of the observations I had is that nobody was really talking about the game.
Really? It's curious. How was I mean, you've lived in Los Angeles. How was the city? I mean, I know you're in sort of the nucleus and the eye of the storm, but I mean, how was the city taking, because it'd been a very long time since.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. Okay. Here's the thing. I mean, you saw the buses. The buses had Go Rams. You know, I didn't really get a sense that it was LA Ram fever going through the city.
Yeah, right.
The Rams are still kind of a young team in regards to being back in L.A. I mean, it's been 3-4 years now, maybe 5. But I don't feel like the Rams are a fan favorite or a crowd favorite in L.A. Like, if the Dodgers were in the World Series, I think you would see everyone everywhere wearing a Dodger jersey, Dodger hat. You know,
sure.
Dodgers would – everyone would be talking Dodgers. And you didn't get that feeling from the Rams that they're still trying to win fans over. They're not as bad as the Chargers.
Yeah, right, exactly. You
know, but they still have a long way to go. I mean, you know, winning a Super Bowl obviously will help.
Yeah, and I wonder how much of that was, you know, hey, look, the Rams were – when they were first in Los Angeles, like from, like, 1980 to 95 when they left, they weren't in Los Angeles. They weren't like playing in the Coliseum or anything like that. They were down in Anaheim, and so they weren't really in Los Angeles. They were over in Anaheim, and then when they left, they were gone for 20 years. And in that time, people just root for other teams.
And the truth of the matter is that it's still largely a Raider town.
Yeah, exactly.
When the Raiders were there, and it's funny. I mean, the Raiders have the most bizarre history out of any NFL team, because I feel like they stay in one place for like 15, 20 years and they move to another.
Right, exactly.
You know, they're nomadic. But it still feels like you still see Raider gear. You still feel that, you know, the Raiders have a hold on the city.
How interesting would it be, because the Rams now have this distinction as a franchise of winning two Super Bowls in two different cities. Right. If the Las Vegas Raiders win a Super Bowl, that would be three cities that the Raiders would have won in just different locations.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's you're right. It's.
But even at Raider Row, I mean, everyone talks about the game. Sure. You know, you pick your favorite or anything, but no one's really dissecting this game at all.
Yeah, it was.
You didn't hear have that buzz like, oh, I can't believe, you know, how excited are you about Rams, Bengals and da-da-da. You know, I mean, sure, you had the standard questions, but everyone was, you know, I think, I don't know, it seemed like they were more about themselves than anything.
Well, it was an interesting week for breakdown, right? Because, you spend all this time taking the two teams apart, but I struggled with this Super Bowl from an analytical standpoint because all of the metrics pointed to the Rams, right? The Rams were a better team on paper.
Yeah.
They had better talent on paper. But then I said, look, I'm not trying to be, you know, mystical here or wishy-washy, but Joe Burrow has this it factor that sort of evens the scale a little bit, right? Whereas, yeah, Ja'Marr Chase is a great receiver and they can run the ball a bit, but I don't think they'll do it as much as the Rams. And defensively, they're better than you think. But they don't have an Aaron Donald on that side of the ball, and they don't have a Von Miller on that side of the ball, and they don't have a Cooper Kupp. As good as Ja'Marr Chase is, they don't have Cooper Kupp. And they don't have, an offensive line like that. You know, Andrew Whitworth is on that side, so all of these things were a problem for the Bengals. But Joe Burrow evened it out, right? Joe Burrow evened it out because that's what he did all playoffs. So, again, it was the scale where it really heavily favored the Rams until you throw Joe Burrow and just this confidence and this ability that he has to make things happen. He ran out of things. He ran out of that magic in the Super Bowl late. He ran out of it. He didn't. Because, again, the disruptive nature of the Rams defense stepping up and taking that game over. And I think you made a good point earlier. I'm not trying to take the MVP away from Kupp. Look, I don't know what it is, unless it's a Ray Lewis or somebody like, we just don't give defensive yeah. players MVP awards. We just don't. And in the Ray Lewis Super Bowl 35, that was the bread and butter of the entire Ravens season was their defense. They used multiple quarterbacks in that Super Bowl, and they weren't going to give it to Dilfer or Brandon Stokely, right? They were going to give it to the main reason that the Ravens were in that Super Bowl and won that Super Bowl.
And that's why I said, Lewis. It kind of felt that way for Cooper Kupp this time around too,
right?
That you were the main catalyst for the Rams' success this year. I mean, triple crown winner in the as a wide receiver. And I felt, yes, he had a great game, especially that final drive, 4 catches, 39 yards, a touchdown. I mean, that's impressive. And being the main weapon, everyone knows that's the main. We're all sitting there on our couch going, all you got to do is stop Cooper Kupp and the game's done.
Yeah.
Bengals, you get the ball back. But it didn't feel right because I felt Aaron Donald was more impactful, especially late in that game.
Yeah, he got to the quarterback a number of times, got 2 sacks in the game. I mean, he again.
It's just that one arm grab up here. I mean.
And then it needed him at the end. And again, there's a story to this Super Bowl, right? Where you could say, here's the story. The story is the offense is moving along fine, and then they suffer an injury, and then they stall out. They can't run the ball. They can't move the ball. They're struggling a bit, but they need time. And they have to make sure this game doesn't get out of hand until they can figure it out. So what does the defense do? There's one play. Jalen Ramsey gets his helmet twisted, and T. Higgins gets open for the 75-yard touchdown. Then Stafford throws the interception, and the Bengals put up 3 points. So they put up 10 points quickly. And then after that, the defense said, not again. We're not doing this again, and shut them out the rest of the way. And then said, fine. Offense, now you figure it out because we are not letting them score again. And they didn't. And then the offense went, okay, now we get an opportunity to figure it out ourselves. We'll put some points on the board to answer what our defense is doing. That's the story, and that story centers around Aaron Donald. Like Aaron Donald and Von Miller, both of those guys being able to stop the Bengals' drives, continue to put pressure on Burrow, put him down on the ground, and make sure that the offense of the Rams didn't have too big of a deficit to climb back into, and they didn't. And that I think that's the way you could describe this story in the second half. Yep, Stafford was amazing on that drive, and again, Cooper Kupp was fantastic on that drive, and 2 touchdowns usually puts you in that MVP conversation. But I think the story of the Super Bowl in the second half was the Rams defense saying, okay, right, we're not giving up another touchdown after the 75-yarder. We'll hold them to a field goal on your turnover, and then after that, it's up to you because we're going to do our job, and we're not going to let them score again. So you figure it out. And the Rams offense did figure it out. But, yeah, I don't know what this win – you bring up a good point about Los Angeles. I don't think this win elevates them to, okay, now they're LA's team. I just don't think – I think if you are a Raider fan, if you grew up in that city and you remember the Raiders, I don't think this is going to make you be a Rams fan. I think you're still a Raiders fan. I don't think you'd lose that. But it does justify the stadium.
I mean, maybe it gains some fans who are on the fence.
Sure, on the fence, yeah.
I was a kid growing up living in L.A. and who became a Chargers fan. And they were in San Diego, and it's because there wasn't really a football team for me to follow.
Yeah, both the Raiders and the Rams left around the same time.
Yeah, around 90, right?
Yeah, mid-90s. So.
Yeah, they both took off at the same time, and I was like, well, who do I look for? What professional team do I go after? USC?
Why, might as well, right? But God, it's a complicated history that city has with their NFL teams, right? Because the Chargers aren't getting a fan base, the Rams are going to starting to build one, and the Raiders still dominate the market.
Yep,
it's sort of a complicated. It's not like Cincinnati, where you've got like generations of these Midwestern Ohioans who are rooting for the Bengals, have always rooted for the Bengals, hoping the Bengals bring a Super Bowl championship home at some time in their lives, die hard, putting up with, you know, all of those bad seasons, all of those years where they were good but not quite great.
And that's what's kind of fun because, I mean, you know, you had these, you know, they kept panning the camera around. You'd see celebrities there. Like, all these celebrities, like, you're jumping on because it's L.A.
Right, yeah.
That's the only reason why. If it was the Chargers, you would have been a Chargers fan. But it was simply because it was L.A. that you become a fan. Now, I do believe Clayton Kershaw is a fan of the Rams now when they showed him. But
yeah, they showed LeBron celebrating as if, like, this is something he's waited his whole life for this moment.
And that's the thing. I don't think that guy exists in L.A.
Right, yeah. Right. I don't think so either.
You know, we can point that out. I mean, if the Buffalo Bills make it to the Super Bowl next year and they win it, we know we will find like a 70-year-old man who was just bawling his eyes out. You know, an old Bills mafia legend kind of guy that is bawling his eyes out because he, you know, for sure that was going to happen in the early 90s.
Sure.
They went to four straight. They got to win one of them. And so, you would get that feeling from that. I don't think there is that guy in
LA. I don't think so either. You're right. I don't think that's either. I don't think there was a guy in Los Angeles like, one day they'll come back. They'll be back. When they were out in St. Louis and they were the greatest show on turf and everything.
Yeah, St. Louis probably hates that the fact that the Rams won.
No, it's funny that you mentioned that because a friend of mine, Benjamin Hockman's a columnist out in St. Louis, and he put it out on Twitter, and he's asking people in St. Louis how they feel about this Super Bowl. And I'm like, well, you could have just, you know, 3 years ago they were in the Super Bowl. You should have asked the same question, right? I mean, the Rams, this Sean McVay, you know, he's getting them to championships, and they've crossed the Rubicon, and now they're Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl title, but yeah, you're right. I mean, again, there's fan bases that are long suffering that have finally crossed over, you know, but the Rams aren't one of them. Like the Los Angeles Rams doesn't feel like one of them. And it's just an interesting relationship between the organization and that city. All right, we'll come back. We'll tag on the Super Bowl halftime show when we come back. We'll also get more into this game and the overriding ramifications of it all as we continue this morning on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue this hour. Wake Up Call brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family. Rocket can. What do you think of the halftime show? I thought it was one of the best halftime shows I've seen in a while.
I mean, put it up there with Prince.
Prince, I think, was the best I've seen in the last 15 years, 20 years.
Well, this thing with this one is that it lived up to the hype.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I thought Maria Taylor at the beginning when she was introducing it, she said it was going to be the best halftime show ever. And I was like, don't say that. This is the one thing people love to rip apart.
Yep.
This halftime show. And I've always said it's amazing these artists do it because it's no matter what you do, it's always like, go on Twitter and everybody thinks you stink. Like, Lady Gaga could sing her heart out and people will be like, nah, it was boring. I didn't like it. Eh. Katy Perry, same thing. Left Shark, ugh. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. You get to the halftime show, you perform your tail off, you dance, you sing, you do all this. And America goes, I didn't quite enjoy that. Except for Prince. I think Paul McCartney did a good job at Super Bowl 36. But even like Justin Timberlake with the hologram of print, like even that was ripped apart. Remember that?
That was ripped apart.
Torn up.
Or they're largely forgettable.
Largely forgettable.
Like last year is The Weeknd. The only thing we remember about The Weeknd was that maze.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly.
Or and, was it, didn't J-Lo and Shakira, didn't they do one recently?
Yeah,
too?
They did one. They did one. Was that 2 years ago?
I guess that was 2 years ago.
I think it was 2 years ago.
I mean, largely forgettable. This one, though, I mean, from beginning to end, we can go all the way back. When it was first announced, we all had this feeling like, okay, I think that could be a good show.
That could be a good show, right?
And then they drop that trailer, and you're like, all right, I'm hyped for this. Then you actually watch it, and You know, I mean, sure. Were there some surprises that I think I wanted to see? Yeah, but that didn't happen. But it didn't matter. I really enjoyed it. I was like, give me some more.
I liked it a lot. I really liked it a lot.
Because what? I mean, the show itself is like 15 minutes, 20 minutes almost.
Yeah.
That went by in a flash, and that's when you know you're enjoying yourself.
It was really well done. It was put together. The music all blended. It was all familiar stuff. It was funny because we were doing prop bets last week. And there was one prop bet on whether or not you would hear any new music. I'm like, which one has got new music coming out? Like, who has got a new song?
Mary J. Blige.
Right? Like, unless Dre and Eminem, like, wrote a song for the Super Bowl, like, I guarantee you were going to hear the hits. That's the way it is. It's not a concert. It's not like going to a concert where you go, oh, yeah, like, we're promoting an album. You'll hear the stuff you love, but we're going to play some stuff on the album so you'll buy the album. Like, it was, you know. That's not what this is. This is entertain the people with the things they know. There's 200 million people watching this thing. Give them what they want. Play the hits.
Yep.
Right? That's what you're doing.
That's exactly what they did.
That's exactly what they did.
Even an upside down 50 cent.
It's so funny. I'm telling my daughter who these people are. She doesn't know who any of them are. Right? She's watching. I go, oh, yeah, look at Fitty. Look at Fitty hanging upside down. It's great.
There's a video that just came out showing 50 getting in that position. I mean, no troubles at all getting upside down. It was like one quick move.
Good. God bless him. God bless him. Boy, you could tell people were psyched to see Eminem, though. When he came out, the place went nuts.
Yeah, and I'm glad he did that song.
I did, too. Yeah.
Like, you know, that's played in every locker room.
That's right. All right, more from the Super Bowl as we continue.